Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've got a downright balmy 37 degrees in the Twin Cities. It's mostly cloudy. Wind out of the west at 12. It's 4:11 on a sports Saturday here on WCCO. Eric Nelson with you, going solo now until 6 p.m. Stevie T, my tag team partner, has exited the building, and he will soon be on I-94 trekking toward the northern suburbs and his palace that overlooks the mighty Mississippi River. J-Lo Jonathan Lowe is our studio coordinator. The program producer is Kevin Reed, and in the newsroom, Sloan Martin. A segment we do periodically right here on WCCO called The Business of Sports, and the star of the show is our good friend Billy Robertson, current commissioner of the WCHA, longtime run with the Timberwolves, the Wild, the Ducks, and the Angels. And whenever I hear that open, Billy Rob, the voice of Kevin Costner in that movie Draft Day, I'm reminded that you and Kevin Costner share the same college alma mater.
That is correct, Eric. Cal State University Fullerton, the baseball factory, otherwise known as Cal State Omaha, is our both of our alma maters.
Yeah, and if you and Kevin Costner are walking down the hallways right now at Cal State Fullerton, it would probably be a push to see who signed the most autographs.
I don't know about that, but he's one of the most famous alums they have, but they've had a few. A lot of great athletes over the years, as you know, including players like Kurt Suzuki and Tim Wallach, amongst other great baseball players.
Yeah, no question about it. And, of course, as I mentioned, you once upon a time worked for the Anaheim Ducks. You helped launch that organization, get them into their brand-new building, which is now called the Honda Center. And you were there when the Minnesota Wild began it all back in Y2K. The two teams met on the ice today in St. Paul. The Ducks win in a shootout, 11-round shootout, 3-2. But for you to see the Wild and Ducks, I know that has to conjure up a lot of interesting memories.
Well, it sure does, Eric. I mean, I spent a lot of time in Orange County, California, and my home is St. Paul, Minnesota. So when those two teams meet, it brings back some very fond memories on both fronts. And happy to see both are in contention for the playoffs, and it'll be interesting to see. I know the Ducks won today, but there's a lot of NHL hockey to be played over the last course of the season, and it'll be interesting to see where both of them finish up. And they could meet in the playoffs again like they have in the past, and that's always fun when you see playoff hockey against teams you have an affinity with.
And full disclosure, many moons ago I met you at Cal State Fullerton getting ready to call a college baseball game, and you were the PA voice of the Titans. But it's a lot of time has certainly passed. But Billy, let's get into some of the business topics in the world of sports. Let's start with Winter Olympics and the ratings, and also which athletes will cash in from an endorsement standpoint.
Well, you know, the Olympics are a big thing globally, nationally, internationally, however you want to look at it. And in the U.S., I think it snuck up on a lot of people. And the reason I say that is the Super Bowl ended 2 weeks ago, Eric, and in particular people in the state of Minnesota had their mindset on the Super Bowl and the Vikings playoff push, and all of a sudden you turn around and within a week after the Super Bowl, the opening ceremonies for the Olympics start. But the one who is cashing in the most is Carol Levin and NBC because of their ratings bonanza, not only having the Super Bowl and being able to project great ratings for that, but also leading into the Olympics. It's been fabulous to date, and I know that the U.S. hasn't had a strong showing so far, but hey, we're only a week into the Olympics, and there's still a lot to be determined in many, many areas. But the ones who are going to cash in are the ones, I always believe, Eric, the athletes that have a smile on their face no matter what happens. And sometimes they don't always have to be the gold medal winner. Sometimes they can be a silver or bronze medalist or just somebody coming out of nowhere to do well. And I think when they position themselves and talk intelligently, to the audience back in the United States when they're on NBC. I think those are the type of athletes that do extremely well.
And Billy Robb, if NBC does not win the sweeps, the ratings in the month of February, something has drastically gone wrong, because NBC did have Super Bowl 52 and now the Winter Olympics. That would seem like a slam dunk.
Well, and you can imagine too, Eric, if the Vikings would have been in the Super Bowl, what that would have done for Care 11 and in particular in this marketplace and markets that have an affinity for the Vikings, they would have been through the roof, through the charts, whatever you want to call it. I know John Remish, the general manager at Care 11, was very happy with the ratings for the Super Bowl, and then they tied that in with some national programming, and then they also had their show with Jimmy Fallon that did exceptionally well, and they had David Faraday with the Golf Channel in town, and all sorts of shows that were programmed around the Super Bowl, but were all NBC Universal Television.
We're talking with Billy Robertson. We call this the business of sports. We do it periodically right here on WCCO. Billy Robb, spring training is underway. Players are trickling into spring camps in Arizona, the Cactus League, and Florida, the Grapefruit League. And once upon a time, spring training was just a way for ball clubs to show up, stretch out, get loose, play some games in front of a sparse gathering of fans. But boy, things have changed. Spring training is now a cash cow. These cities have to build state-of-the-art venues to house these teams and their minor league complexes. And it really is a money bonanza, isn't it?
It is, and it doesn't matter if it's in Arizona or Florida. All of them have done exceptionally well, and the baseball teams that have been aggressive with their spring training facilities earlier on are the ones that are doing well. And I look at where the Chicago Cubs are at in Arizona and what they've done in trying to emulate Wrigley Field in Arizona, and what that means for all those Chicagoites in that area of the country that want to come down for a week or so in spring training to get their Cubs fixed before the regular season, and how much money is exchanged hands. They sold out their entire season at their Cubs convention for spring training. So there are no tickets available unless you're going to get scalp tickets in the secondary markets. And that's just one of many teams that have that option. And the Twins are no different. They're doing extremely well in Fort Myers and sharing that town with the Boston Red Sox. And you see the money that's pouring in, and more people want to take trips because it's such a relaxed and casual atmosphere in spring training. And I think that's the appeal for a lot of fans. They can get up close and personal with these players.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been down to Fort Myers many times, also out to Arizona. And you're exactly right, Billy Robb, especially when you have fan bases coming from places like Minnesota or Wisconsin or Michigan or New England or anywhere where there's still snow on the ground and you're a long ways away from some seasonal weather. Spring training is a huge draw. Stick around. We're going to have a lot more coming up as we continue with Billy Robb, the business of sports here on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
37 degrees, mostly cloudy. It's breezy outside. Wind out of the west at 19 miles an hour, 423. On a WCCO Sports Saturday, Eric Nelson with you here until 6 o'clock. We continue with Billy Robb, the business of sports. We do it periodically right here on WCCO. And, Billy, the Frozen Four will be in St. Paul at the XL Energy Center in early April. And that's another one of the marquee events coming to the Twin Cities. And I'm not sure a lot of people have it on their radar yet, but it's coming up.
It certainly is, and as a commissioner of a college hockey conference, I can tell your listeners out there all over the region that there's no better atmosphere than the Frozen Four, which will take place on April 5 and 7 at the XL Energy Center. And I'm very hopeful, Eric, that the WCHA will have a team in the Frozen Four. And right now we have three teams that are ranked in the top 20 in college hockey. That includes Minnesota State, in Mankato, and then we have Bowling Green State University in Northern Michigan, and all three are playing really good hockey, and it'll be fun to see how it all plays out. But we could have two or three teams from the state of Minnesota participating in the Frozen Four this year in St. Paul, because the University of Minnesota is having an excellent year. St. Cloud is having an excellent year, and UMD is having an excellent year. And then the wild card would be Bemidji State University, which clinched a playoff spot in our quarterfinals for two weekends from now up in Bemidji. So a lot to be played out, but for fans of college hockey, it'll be a sold-out event for sure because of all the interest in amateur hockey in the state of Minnesota. But it's one of those events, as we talked about. We came off the Ryder Cup in 2016. In 2016. And then 2018, we have the Super Bowl. And then now we have the Frozen Four, which has snuck up on a lot of people. And then we have the Final Four a year from now.
Yeah.
So this market, as we've talked about many times on your show, this area of the country can put on big time events. And I know St. Paul and Visit St. Paul, the XL Energy Center, are working really hard with the NCAA to make sure the Frozen Four is a terrific event for all the fans.
Yeah, and this is now something that is coveted by other markets around the country. It's just not something that you have in the North or the Northeast. It's been in Anaheim. It's been in Tampa. It's been in Washington, D.C. So St. Paul had to bid to get this thing. From your perspective, Billy, and I know you'd love to see as many WCHA teams as possible in the Frozen Four, but from the St. Paul point of view and cashing in and making it very lucrative, is it ideal to have a couple of, say, teams from Minnesota or maybe a North Dakota come in and then a couple from somewhere else with a little cachet? I mean, Notre Dame's number one now. Whenever you say Notre Dame, I mean, I don't care what the sport is, people perk up. I mean, what's the ideal contingent, of teams in the Frozen Four from a business standpoint?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of play. Obviously, having a couple regional teams, as you talked about, WCHA team or Big Ten team in there would be ideal for the draw and the excitement and the energy. And as you say, a Notre Dame or a Boston College brings a lot of cachet. But you do need a couple teams from out of the marketplace to come in and spend that money and stay in the hotels.
Exactly.
In both St. Paul and Minneapolis to make it really a very good event. From an economic impact perspective, and I think, as I said earlier, I think we're going to see a couple Minnesota schools potentially in the Frozen Four, and I'm hoping that one of those for sure is a WCHA school from where my perspective is as the commissioner. But I think it'll be a fun event, and they do a fan fest with it. They'll announce the Hobie Baker winner, which is the Heisman Trophy for College Hockey Award, and there'll be other fan activities for people, and it's certainly not at the level of a Super Bowl or a Final Four, but it draws extremely well. And the last time it was here in 2011, it sold out without the University of Minnesota in the tournament. I don't believe they were in it that year, but they did win it in 2002 back in St. Paul at the XL Energy Center when Minnesota beat Maine in a thrilling overtime game. And that was an exciting time and one of the greatest college hockey experiences for fans who went to that event. So I see that happening again, Eric. You're going to have some great teams playing here, but you need some regional support with having a couple teams from the upper Midwest region in there, and then hopefully get a couple cachet names that people have name recognition and brand recognition with.
Yeah, and that game when the Gophers beat Maine, that certainly was good for the U of M and the city of St. Paul, but not so good for Dinkytown. That sparked some riots after the Gophers won, I believe, the second of back-to-back NCAA Frozen Four championships. Billy, final question before we let you go. NBA All-Star Weekend is upon us out at Staples Center, downtown Los Angeles. Once upon a time, this was a huge deal. I think it's lost some of its luster. Where will this fall as far as TV ratings and garnering eyeballs?
Well, I mean, they'll still get the NBA fan to watch, and each market's their NBA fans will be watching this game, but it has fallen off quite a bit, and I'm not sure exactly why that is. I think that the timing of it, it's a lot later than it had been in the past, Eric. I always thought it was in early February, but they certainly don't want to butt up against the Super Bowl. And you look at all the All-Star game. We had the Pro Bowl, we had the NHL All-Star game, then the Super Bowl, all within a short period of time. And this is kind of just falling on the wayside. And it's in Los Angeles at the Staples Center, which is a fabulous venue. You've been there. I've been there. L.A. will do it right. But again, L.A. is so large that it will get lost in the luster of being in such a big city. And that's where the rub is. And with the Lakers not having a great it also leaves some doubt to people. But certainly it has the NBA All-Star game is not what it was. I'm hoping that over time they continue to promote their big stars on each of these teams and we get more and better athletes that are participating in this. And, you know, the slam dunk was something you couldn't miss on Saturday night. And now you could ask the average fan who was participating in the game. And there are no big time stars like Dominic Wilkins and Michael Jordan participating in that. They don't have those names like they used to. So it'll be a little bit different, sir.
All right, great stuff as always, Billy Robb. Enjoy the sports weekend.
All right, you too, Eric. Have a great weekend, and to all your fans, enjoy this beautiful Saturday.
All right, he's Billy Robertson, current commissioner, WCHA. Once upon a time, worked for the Ducks, the Angels, the Timberwolves, and the Wild. We call this segment the business of sports. We do it periodically right here on WCCO. 37 degrees, mostly cloudy, wind out of the west at almost 20 miles an hour. It's breezy in the Twin Cities on a sports Saturday. Eric Nelson with you here until 6 o'clock. Of course, WCCO is your home for Timberwolves and Twins broadcasts. And, of course, we're so thrilled to have the Minnesota Twins back on the airwaves. They've come back to their original home, and we'll have extensive Twins coverage throughout the MLB season. And hard to believe, but it all begins down in Florida on Thursday, the Minnesota Golden Gophers against the Minnesota Twins at the spectacular CenturyLink Complex, Hammond Stadium in Southwest Florida. And joining us now, Dustin Morse from the Twins Media Relations Department. Dustin, always good to talk to you, and give us a weather update on what's going on down in Fort Myers.
Well, not to rub it in, but it's a little warm down here. I'm a little hot. It's a lot of sun-kissed faces. A lot of our players are out there running around in the sun. Most of them are from the areas like, you know, Arizona, California, and down here in Florida. But a lot of the front office, we are enjoying coming south and thawing out a little bit. So it's been beautiful weather, sunny, a light breeze, but plenty of heat. So it's been pretty fun so far down here in Southwest Florida.
So you're trying to deal with the wind heat factor, correct?
Yeah, it's I guess you could call it that slight breeze, but it's beautiful. It's the place you want to be. It's I kind of tell my friends and family it's a lot like an adult spring break. You know, you see a lot of smiles down here this time of year. There's a lot of optimism in Twins camp among our fans. There's a lot of fans out here already kind of getting their eyes on some of these pitchers and catchers that are busy gearing up for that first game and getting their work in. So it's just a fun atmosphere here. As you said, at Hammond Stadium is a very fan-friendly area as well. So I couldn't be happier to be down here and getting the thing going. I mean, we're excited to start 2018, just where we left off in 2017, and keep good vibes going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been lucky enough to go down to spring training many times in Fort Myers, the southern tip of Twins territory, as they call it down there. And I know with the renovation that was complete a couple of years ago, you have the jewel, Hammond Stadium, the ballpark. They've got that boardwalk you can circle around and check a lot of things out. The seats are all outstanding as far as viewpoint goes. And then you have, you know, the rest of the fields for the minor leaguers. And now the baseball academy, Dustin. I mean, it really is. If you're a Twins fan, you should find your way down there because there's plenty to do and see.
Yeah, I kind of it reminds me of a college campus now that we have the academy and the minor league side, and it's really just a short walk across the street. In fact, this morning we shot a commercial with our outfield, Byron Buxton, Max Kepler, and Eddie Rosario. We did it over at the academy. It's a beautiful space that a lot of indoor covered space that's just a treat for a lot of our minor league players to live out of. They live there. They eat. We have the right nutrition for these guys and the right workout routines. I mean, it's really a beautiful facility for just not the major leaguers, but all the minor league guys that come in as well and try to chase down a dream. So it's a lot of activity right now, more than you'd think. A lot of the position players have come in early to start getting their work in. It's a little shorter period of time. Like you said, we have that Gopher game on the 22nd, and that's a night game. It'll be fun to see Paul Molitor manage against his old college. It's always a fun battle between him and his former mates there. So I'm looking forward to getting the thing going. And at this point, we're trying to figure out who's going to start, who's going to play. Guys like Brian Dozier and Miguel Sano are reporting tomorrow, and then we'll pretty much have the entire squad, and they'll get a couple workouts in, and away we go.
Dustin Morse, our guest. He's with the Twins Media Relations Department. Of course, WCCO is your radio home for Minnesota Twins baseball. And Dustin, you've certainly been around the team for a long time, and one of the beauties of spring training is it's not that intense pressure that you find in the regular season. It's more laid back. It's more low key, and the fans can reach out and touch these guys sometimes. You've got split squads, so there's a lot going on. I mean, where else can you see guys running in the outfield during a game? You won't see that in the regular season, will you?
No. In fact, too, you might even catch a player on the radio broadcast. It's just a different atmosphere. You kind of know when guys are playing and when they're not, so you try to keep them busy and get them involved with some of those, you know, fan meet and greets and autograph sessions. And it's not uncommon to see a half dozen guys out on the concourse assisting their wives. The wives club kind of comes down and sells some items. And so you said it best. It's a great place for fans just to interact with our players. It's very low key and fan friendly and just really a fun atmosphere. And the most important part is just guys get their work in and they don't get hurt. I think if you educate fans a little bit on what spring training is, you don't pay attention to the stats and numbers and the wins and losses so much. It's really about guys getting their work in. And the more experienced and the more I've been around some of these different meetings, you realize that some of these pitchers are working on a specific pitch or a location or just communication with a catcher. And it's all about, you know, getting ready for that regular season. And that's why it's so fun. It's a lot less pressure, I guess, for guys to produce that game-winning hit, and instead they might just be working on hitting a changeup that day or something. So it's fun. There's some strategy with spring, but the most important part is just to get you working and stay healthy.
Yeah, the science of the sport. What really goes on when you start peeling away the onion? It is amazing how much time these guys put in, you know, trying to perfect their craft. And you brought up the outfielders and the commercial shoot. And look, Dustin, you never know in pro sports. It can be a very transient, nomadic business. But if all goes well and the Twins hold on to an Eddie Rosario, a Byron Buxton, and a Max Kepler, and they play together for a while, the upside of this outfield is incredible. Three great athletes. They cover a lot of ground. Buxton's a highlight every night. Well, you got something there, don't you?
Yeah, and you know what? They're best friends, too. Seeing them interact this morning on this commercial shoot, they're close. They have each other's back. They know that, you know, they got a theme that nothing falls but raindrops in that outfield. So they don't want any ball to drop in no matter where it's hit. And our pitchers love that, too. In fact, I know Derek Falvey and Thad Levine are trying to track down some more starting pitching. And that's one of the things that they try to tell some of these agents and free agent pitchers is, we got one of the best young outfielders in the game. I mean, these guys make pitchers look pretty good, and we've all seen Byron. He can go out and get a ball, whether it's at the wall or a shallow blue pit he takes away. He's pretty fun to watch. And then if you have Kepler and Rosario on the left and right side there, it's a fun group. But it's not just those guys. It's Jorge Polanco at short, and of course Brian Dozier's doing his thing at second, and Joe Mauer, he got his average back up over 300 last year, and Gold Glove defense, and then you got the big guy at third base, Miguel Sano. It's we all know the talent he's got, and he could break out with 40 home runs, and that lineup's looking incredible. And it's a unique camp because this year there's not a lot of battles for the position players. Most of the young players have wrapped up their spots, and there might be a battle or two for a bench role, but yeah, it's nice to have that same core back that's growing together and improving, and they want to win. It's you see that hunger in all these guys. That it was something to watch last year, and it was a great finish, but it's not how we wanted it to end. I mean, these guys were very disappointed losing that wild card game, and they want to take it deeper. So if we play meaningful games in September and then we can push this thing into October, you know, I think we'll be kind of heading in the right direction on where we want to go and ultimately get to that World Series and win a few titles like we did in 87 and 91.
Yeah, and I like the fact that the core is intact. There is cohesiveness, as you pointed out, Dustin, and it seems like a good room. I mean, you go in that locker room, and everybody's on the same page for the most part. And you look at the Houston Astros just a few years ago. I mean, they were losing 111, yeah. 101. They weren't very good, but they built. They got some building blocks in place. Everybody kind of grew up at the same time. They made a couple of key additions, obviously Justin Verlander. But the Twins, sure. to me, are on a similar track. They seem like a younger version of where the Astros were.
You know, that is the model. You know, the Cubs and Astros kind of did that, and it's been successful. And you know, we're proud to say that the farm system is got a lot of nice pieces that, you know, you see a Nick Gordon in camp and Steven Gonsalves. I mean, two young, you know, a pitcher and a position player that are kind of knocking on the door, and there's more younger kids coming to fill in the gaps when you need them. But you know, as we just said, the position players are kind of set for a while, and the rotation is you know, we're trying to add pieces there. And then, you know, I think an underrated offseason with the bullpen, you know, with some three nice additions with Addison Reed and Fernando Rodney and Zach Duke, it's a nice compliment to the guys that kind of stepped up and proved themselves, and Alan Buznitz and Trevor Hildenberger and Taylor Rogers. So and Ryan Pressly, too. He kind of struggled there, but everybody talks about his stuff. He's nasty, and when he's on, he's closer material. So I think Derek and Thad did a nice job of adding some key pieces, and they're great human beings, too. Mm-hmm. That room, that clubhouse, the culture is in great shape, and these guys want to win, and they want to root for each other, and it's really a fun place to be right now, and I enjoy my job, as you can probably tell, because, you know, obviously winning is a lot of fun, but just the guys you're around, it makes a big difference, and when the next guy can pick up a guy that might be struggling and they root for each other, it's really a fun place to be, and I think our fans enjoy that, too, when they just one guy after another, and you can fall in love with all these different players that have different backgrounds from different parts of the world. It's just a really fun blend of guys that want to win.
Yeah, no doubt a job that you should love. I mean, your office is the ballpark. And, Dustin, one of the things I noticed about the Twins early on when I started covering them in the 90s is that they really pay tribute to the past. They honor their history. And now on any given game or day, I mean, whether it be Fort Myers or here in the Twin Cities, you might see a Rod Carew, a Torrey Hunter, a Jim Cott, a Justin Morneau, a LaTroy Hawkins, a Tony Oliva. And that's a wealth of knowledge that the ball players can tap into. These people mingle with the fans. So I like the fact that they're bringing people back.
Yeah, the list goes on and on. It's fun to see guys like Burt Blyleven and Rod Carew showed up in camp today. Johan Santana, who's going into the Twins Hall of Fame this year, lives down the street in Fort Myers and wants to come and talk to some of the starting pitchers. So it's a good group. You mentioned guys like Hunter and Hawkins. They've been great with the young guys. And now Justin Morneau is going to come in. It's going to be fun to see him on Monday in uniform as an instructor. And he's going to work with his buddy Joe Mauer around first base and how to improve that defense. I think it's almost more of a comedy skit than actual instruction because they're both pretty good around first base and good buds. But, it's nice to bring those guys back. And there's a lot of just sitting around talking about what it means to win, what it means to be a major leaguer, what it means to represent the Twins and give back to the fans and the community. I mean, that's still a huge part of who we are and some of the different charity events that we have. And, you know, we had one down here the other day, a golf event that raised a ton of money, and we have a bowling event tomorrow. So that's all part of it, and that's some of the greats that have put on the Twins uniform. They want to get back involved and be here and pay it forward. So it's really fun to see those guys as teachers now.
Yeah, and Jack Morris, the future Hall of Famer, also part of
and
that
let's
group.
Let's not forget the manager. He had a good speech this morning. He said, Rod Carew's got 7 batting titles. Tony Oliva's got 3, and between Molitor and Rod and Tony, they have 10 batting titles. It was kind of a joke that Paul never got one, but he got about 3,300 hits. So a pretty good group of hitters in the room if anybody wants to tap into those guys.
Well, one thing Molly can say, and believe me, I think Rod Carew's the greatest hitter I've ever seen, but neither Carew nor Tony O had a 44-game hitting streak, so Molly does have him in that category.
Yeah. Sometimes I got to pinch myself when I'm sitting with one of the greatest hitters of all time. But he's pretty humble. He doesn't like to talk about himself. So,
all right. Well, hey, have fun down there in Florida, Dustin. We'll be talking to you throughout the season. And again, WCCO, happy and thrilled to have the Twins back.
Well, thanks for checking in, and many more this spring.
All right, very good. He's Dustin Morse from the Twins Media Relations Department. Again, the first Grapefruit League game for the Twins Thursday right here on WCCO. The Minnesota Gophers and the Minnesota Twins. How about that? It is 4:50 on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
37 degrees, mostly cloudy, 4:53 on a sports Saturday here on WCCO. It's breezy outside. Wind out of the west at almost 20 miles an hour. Anaheim Ducks knock off the Minnesota Wild today at the XL Energy Center. In an 11-round shootout, Ducks win it 3-2. Richie got the game-winning shootout goal for Anaheim. Jason Zucker had one of the two Minnesota goals, and here's what Zucker said after the game.
I expect that lead, and I sense that there's some complacency setting in, but you probably
think
they were going to push that push.
I mean, they're a skilled team. They're a good team, so they're going to have a push. And, you know, I think we were we sat back a little bit, but I think we still had some really good shifts. I think we were still pushing a bit. You know, it's easy to say now, obviously, but we knew, you know, obviously, with the amount of skill in that team, they're gonna have a good push at some point.
How tough was Gibson tonight? You definitely had tons of chances.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we gotta try to bury more when we have those chances. I mean, especially against a team like them.
You knew for sure your stick was under the crossbar on that goal.
I felt it was. You know, typically you can somewhat sense it, but I mean, it was probably close, but I had my initial feeling was that it was under.
What's it like being in a shootout like that where it's just one after another?
Yeah, that was a long one. I don't know. Last time we've had one like that. Dupes was great. You know, a lot of good moves, and Gibson obviously was very good as well, and it would have been nice to get that extra point there.
What do you look at the program as a whole? I mean, points in 4 or 5, but a couple games where you blew leads in the third.
Yeah, I mean, we got to shore that up a little bit. I think that's kind of been our Achilles heel all year. We've done that too many times. You know, it was good to get the 1 point and make sure we just look ahead to this road trip.
And that's Jason Zucker after the Wild's shootout overtime loss to Anaheim 3-2. Our thanks to the Hammer, Craig Schrepfer. We're gathering that sound from St. Paul. Of course, it's NBA All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles. All the festivities begin tonight. The actual All-Star game tomorrow at Staples Center in downtown L.A. One of the storylines the past couple of days has been Laura Ingraham of Fox News making what I think were some very ignorant statements about LeBron James speaking out on the Florida shooting and other political stances the king has taken. She said he should stick to dribbling a basketball. Wow. The hypocrisy of Ingraham is clear. Athletes can only play, not speak out in her world. How wrong she is. Now, she has invited LeBron James on her show to, I don't know if she wants to debate him about this or what, but if I'm the king, I don't think there's much to be gained by going on her show. She's already made a fool of herself. Let her twist in the wind. Anyway, the All-Star game will be tomorrow at Staples Center. Now, Jason Kidd and two-time NBA MVP Steve Nash are two of the 13 finalists for the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Mass. Others who are among the finalists include Ray Allen, Grant Hill, Mo Cheeks, and Chris Webber. Ray Allen, once upon a time, for about 5 minutes, was actually a member of the Timberwolves. They drafted him, Flip and Kevin McHale, and then within minutes, if I remember correctly, dealt him away to get Stephon Marbury. The T-Wolves thought they had a newer version of Stockton and Malone with Marbury and KG. Worked out well for a couple of years, but then Stephon said, you know what? I want to go elsewhere. I want to go back to the Big Apple. He wound up with the Nets. Now he's in China. Stephon Marbury's a rock star in China. It's 4:57 here on WCCO.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.